need to read them out. You can't sing that on the screen.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. Welcome if you're gathering with us in the building, or welcome to those who are watching online or later in the week. We are all welcome into God's presence. Let's pray as we come into his presence together. Father, we do thank you for all that you give to us. And Lord, as we enter your presence this morning, let us be aware that our worship is a sacrifice of praise towards you. Father, that we bring you everything. And Lord, we pray that for those who need to bring heartache or problems, that you will accept their offering in the worship that they bring. So Father, be with us, we pray. And we ask that we would honour and glorify your name this morning as we worship you together. Amen. Amen. Let's just read a few verses. This psalm has become a favourite with me at the moment, Psalm 105. And I've just got the first four verses for you here. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. So that's what we're doing as we gather here this morning. We are seeking his face to worship him. And our first song says that directly. We are standing on holy ground. So if you are able to, please join me and let's stand and sing this song together. Our next song says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. as we enter into his presence. Our soul must cry out, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Praise his name forevermore. And we do that because of what this first line says. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. Father, we come before you and we acknowledge everything that you have done for us. And Lord, we bring our praise to you as a sacrifice in worship. And Lord, we thank you for your blessing this morning. Thank you that you pour out your Spirit into our lives, our daily lives. Lord, you number the hairs on our head and the cells in our body. Father, we thank you that you love us and you gave yourself in sacrifice. Amen. Please do be seated. And it comes to a very important part in the service, and Nathan said that I always get the birthdays, but that's not always the case. Is there anyone in junior church or the way who wants to admit to having... Hey! Quick sticks! Hello! Well, Farah, what would you like to choose? That's very cool. Let's sing happy birthday. It's a special occasion. And another one. Oh, another one. Not wanting to admit. Okay. So we'll include you in that. There's another swanky water bottle here, or there's some bits and pieces. If you wish to come up after the service, then you're very welcome. Oh, you're coming. Well done. Come on. That's it. I'm loving the jacket. That's lovely. Yeah, so there might be something. Even if you don't, let's sing happy birthday to our Welcome. Just a couple of things to mention. Hopefully you've all read your little sermon notes as you came in. If anyone does intend to go to the funeral of Joe Whitehead, and you are going back to the refreshments afterwards at Barker's Court, could you just let Bob know, please, Bob McCartan know, if you are going to attend that. And there may or may not have been an envelope on your seat as you came in. We are needing to renew our boiler, and we're not going to have a thermometer outside the church, although I think that would have been the most appropriate way to go. We sort of fund things within ourselves. So next Sunday morning we will be having a special appeal for the heating system to be renewed. Our boiler, unfortunately, it's not condemned, but if it breaks there are no parts available to mend it, so it's reached the end of its active life, so we need to do that. These are for you to take away, pray over them, and if you are able, then please do contribute towards that. And also it mentions on there giving through the bank and everything as well. We don't normally talk about giving, although we do have our offertory boxes. But this is a particular thing that we would like to be able to sort out and hopefully do it in the next few months when the weather's warming up and we don't need the system to be on. So they will be mentioned again next week. Oh, certainly is. It's the first Tuesday, so at 2:30 there should be contact club, ladies contact club on the back there. If you're wanting to come along and join in with the ladies fellowship there, it's just a time of fellowship. So 2:30 on Tuesday afternoon will be ladies contact club in the church. Okay. Now then, the children are going to go through to their groups. We hope that you are a blessing to your leaders and that your leaders are a blessing to you. And we pray that that will happen. As you leave, we're going to remain seated and sing "We Bring a Sacrifice of Praise," an oldie but a goodie. Okay. Thank you. I thought if we play a fast one when the children go out, they might walk a little bit quicker, but try it again next time. Our next song is a little bit quieter, and we're just going to follow it with a time of prayer. But I think that we need to stand to sing this. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come. So let's stand and sing together when the music fades. Seated. Let's pray together. Father, as a part of our worship, we bring you now our fellowship prayers. And Lord, we remember those who can't join us. Father, we pray that in their frailty, you would lift them up, that you would shelter them with your wings. And Lord, we remember this week too those who continue to grieve the loss that they've undergone over recent weeks. So Father, we do pray for the families that we have shared with and we will share with in the coming weeks. And Lord, we pray for everyone gathered here. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to the message that Brian will bring. And Lord, that you will speak to us of what our worship means to you, the Holy God. And Lord, we pray that you would accept our praises this morning as an offering to you. So Father, be with us, we pray, and be with those who need a special touch from you. And Father, we do look around the world and think, you came to this earth, you died on Calvary, but we still need a special touch from you around the whole earth. So Father, be with those who are homeless and distressed, who are living in war zones, who are trying to put things right. And we pray that it will be your strength that lifts them up. So Father, show us where we can be your hands on this earth, and bless our endeavours in your name. Father, be with us now as we listen to your word. Amen. Just one more song, and it kind of tells it like it is. You can't beat a good old hymn. So we have Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. So let's stand and sing together before Brian comes to speak.
A very good morning to you, church. Nice to see you this morning on this, our first service of February. And I just want to ask, what happened to January? And it gone so quickly. It, no sooner was it January 1, and now we're into February. So we start a new month, and we also start a new sermon series. And this sermon series that we're looking at this month is entitled, Let's Talk About Worship. So I just wonder, when I mention worship, what does that mean to you? What goes around in your mind? What are your thoughts? Where do they gravitate towards? Do you think about the praise and worship that we've just had? Do you think, you know, it's something that we need to be a little bit more structured with? Perhaps a little bit more freedom? Maybe you think the songs that we sing, perhaps we need more contemporary songs in the church. That's part of our praise and worship time. Or perhaps you might think that we need some more substantive hymns of old, where it draws out the biblical truths. Unlike some, perhaps, you might think modern songs where you might struggle just to find the name Jesus in the song somewhere, or what the song's about. We all have different views, I'm sure, on what worship is. And you might even think something that's completely different from what I've just said. And that's fine. Because this morning we're going to delve into God's word, and we're going to see what he says worship is and what is important to God. And with that, let's hear the word of the Lord. And this is taken from Exodus chapter 3. And it says this. Now Moses, when he was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was sore afraid to look upon God. I think we can all agree, whatever our thoughts are on what worship is, that it is central to the Christian life. And it's central to church life as well. And despite our different ways, different thoughts on what it might be, I thought I would take this opportunity at the start of this sermon just to share with you what I think my thoughts are on worship. Worship is expressed through prayer, through the Holy Scriptures, and through communion. And yes, in song too, and with instrument. In my view, worship starts in the heart. And worship is really just the kind of visible outward expression of the relationship that we have with God. Remember the song that we sung this morning, I'm coming back to a heart of worship when all is stripped away. All we have left is Jesus. Worship is expressed when we recognize that there is someone before us that is greater than ourselves. So that's my summation of worship. But I had an opportunity to look at an online dictionary. This is the Merriam-Webster dictionary, to see what that says, what worship is. And it had two things to say. First one, reverence offered to a divine being or a supernatural power. And the second one is a form of religious practice with its creeds and ritual. So not to get too technical, but the word most often, the Greek word most often rendered worship in the New Testament literally means, its literal translation is to fall down before, or to bow down before. So that's what the meaning of the Greek word is, to bow down before, to fall down before the thing that you worship. I don't know if you know, but there are many things that are known as Bible dictionaries. So you would, if you don't understand what a word is, you would go to this Bible dictionary. Some of it, you might have a cut down thing at the end of your Bible. But sometimes you can get these big books, and people have been writing these dictionaries for centuries, and there are more modern ones as well. So I looked up in a recognized authoritative Bible dictionary to see what worship means, and it said this: to prostrate oneself in homage. To prostrate oneself in homage. To do reverence and adore. So, I don't know if you've recognized, but kind of building up a pattern of what the definition of worship is from these various sources. But we haven't come across anything that defines it as just praise and worship, of song, of instrument. This all seems to be with how our interaction is before the one that we worship. And I want to give two biblical examples, some scripture that shows about worship and this act of bowing down. So this is one from Genesis, this is chapter 24, and verse 52 says this: and it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. That's the first one. An Exodus. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord has spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked on their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Now, I know we're, as a church, we're trying to make efforts to become a more prayerful church, particularly when we come together. And it strikes me that when it comes to prayer, it's often associated with bowing our heads. So even if we don't feel, or we're not even capable of getting down on our knees, as Jesus did in the garden on the night that he was betrayed, or even flying, I don't think there'd be enough room, would there? Lying prostrate on the floor, when it comes to a time of prayer to worship God, we must at least show reverence and bow our heads. And that's what those two verses demonstrated. So I've taken this so far from Exodus, and now we're going to transform everything just to bring it a little bit more up to date into the New Testament. And I'm not going to take too much time on this because there's so much packed into this. But if you have time, do go home and read Acts chapter 7. This is the story where Stephen, who had only just been recognized as a deacon in the church, and he went about doing good. So how did the religious leaders treat Stephen? Yeah, but before that, before stoning him to death, they make false accusations. They couldn't even find a good, real accusation for Stephen. And they said the accusation was that he spoke blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And like Jesus, the religious leaders, they couldn't find anything of real evidence against them, so they had to trump something up. Then they got someone to give false accusations against Stephen. And they brought Stephen before the religious council. And the leader said, "Is this true?" And Stephen, at that, all he asked, he said, "Is this true?" Stephen launches into a whole speech, a whole preach, a whole sermon on the biblical definition of worship. And he used Moses. He started at Moses. And we're going to look at some of the things that Stephen brought out in the book of Acts in chapter 7. So it might seem straightforward to you what worship is, but before we can look at how we worship God, we need to look at why we worship God. So what does it mean to be holy in the Bible? Well, it simply means to be set apart. To be set apart and to be sacred. You might remember that when we read the passage of the burning bush, Moses, God said, "Do not approach, for the law, from the ground that you set yourself upon, take off your sandals, because this ground is holy ground." What God was doing right there was making a distinction that wherever he is holy ground. Wherever God is holy ground. And whenever things are repeated in Scripture, this is just a general rule. For example, "verily, verily," you might read in the King James, or in modern versions it might read, "truly, truly." When you see two words repeated together, it's really just emphasizing that word. So "truly, truly" might be saying, "really, truly." Now remember the song that we just sung, "Holy, Holy, Holy." Well, if you think that repeating twice meant something was really, three times, and it's only used twice in the Scriptures, once in the Old Testament in Isaiah and once in Revelation. I'm going to read it now, Revelation 4. And this is speaking of the Lord Jesus. And it says this, "Holy, holy, holy." Now that's really holy. So that's not just twice holy, that's three times holy. In other words, there is nothing on this earth that comes close to being comparable to the Lord God Almighty and his holiness. No matter how good you think you are, how clean you might think you are, righteous life that you lead, nothing, no one compares to the Lord God Almighty. So Revelation 4 says this, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So this is why we worship God and why we worship God alone. Because he alone is holy, holy, holy. Nothing else comes close to God. In fact, in Isaiah, it says this, "For there is no other God before me." This is God saying, there is no other God. "For there is no other God besides me." Now that makes sense, doesn't it? There is no other God besides me. He is the only God that is worthy of our worship. Now it just so happens that we live in a world that is fallen and that is darkened, and that there are many distractions that would seek to take away our focus and our worship onto God. And although I'm going to go to an extreme example here, it will give you a very good indication. And this is where Jesus was led to the mountains and he was tempted of the devil. And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus says this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." This is Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6. He says, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So we are to have no one else that we should worship, no one else that we should raise even close to that status. We should never dilute the holiness of God. And we should beware of things that divert our attention from our holiness and from our worship to God. You see, God is holy. And we worship him because he is God and he is God alone. But in this world, there are things that will set our attention away. And it could be all sorts of things, whether it be something that you have as a pastime, something that you dedicate yourself, that you have an interest in. You could do that more than you might do other things. You might want to relax more than doing other things. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things are in their own right is wrong, but all of these things, when you put together, result with something that can encourage you to take your attention away from Jesus. Even if it's your work, you're very much into your work, you're very much into your studies, it could even be a religious thing, something connected with Christianity, and you could spend a lot of your time doing that, and you can get so involved in doing it that it takes your attention away from perhaps prayer time, from perhaps reading the Holy Scriptures. There are things in this world that would seek to take our attention away from worshipping the Lord our God. See, we know that God loves us. And this is another reason why we worship God, because of how he sees us. We know that God saved us, that he sent his only Son to die on the cross, to save us from our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins, a price that we could not pay, but only God could have paid. And we have that relationship with him. So we were not only bought at a price through the blood, the spilled blood of Jesus, but we have a relationship and we have a purpose. In fact, that relationship goes well beyond what we are able to accept, really, I think. But it's through grace that God gives us this relationship of, well, let me read Romans, and it says this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." So if you're a born-again believer, you are a son of God, a child of God. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." God has adopted us. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, died in the most horrific way on the cross, paid for our sins. And then, after redeeming us, wiping our slates clean, God then says, "But that's not enough. I draw you near to myself. We are grafted into the vine, and we are adopted as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father." And verse 16 says this, important, and we'll come back to this: "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit." So the Holy Spirit bears with our spirit that we are children of God. "And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So I ask you this, with all these things that God has done for us, the lengths that he's gone to redeem us from the pit of hell, and now he's adopted us into his family, is it difficult to worship God? Keeping this in our minds, is it difficult to worship God Almighty? He alone is worthy to be praised, and of all the goodness that he has shown us in our lives, it's not difficult to worship God. So I said all this just to lay the groundwork, just to prepare us for asking the real question this morning. How should we approach a holy God in worship? So let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 32. And this references back, and I'll read the excerpt from Exodus. But remember how Moses reacted when he came near the burning bush and he heard the voice of the Lord? It says in Exodus 3:6, "And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God. Now Moses, you know that he's one of the great leaders of the Bible. He led a whole nation out of bondage from Egypt into the promised land, although he himself never set foot on that promised land, but he led a whole nation out. And I ask you, if he was so afraid to look upon God, how do we look upon God? Are we too casual in our approach today towards God? Are we too casual? Do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? What is our heart condition when we come before God in prayer and in worship, in reading the scriptures? Do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? Do we treat him like God Almighty, or do we treat him like God Almighty? See, God is our Heavenly Father, and he does love us. He is kind, he is merciful, and he is gracious towards us. But we should never lose sight that he is God Almighty, who created all things and he gave us life. So when we do come to praise and worship, when we come to worship God, how should we do this? In what manner? Well, do you remember the story of the Samaritan woman at the well? In the Gospel of John, Jesus said to this woman, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Then Jesus goes on to make this important statement in verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." The Father is seeking such to worship him in spirit and in truth. So what does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? It means to worship God from the very center of our being. Not with outward signs, not with in rituals, not in observances, and not in sacrifices, and not in sacraments, but from deep within. And that is where the true communion with God takes place, deep within our souls, deep within our spirit. Remember Romans 8 that we read earlier, that the Spirit himself bears witness within our spirit that we are children of God. Our worship takes place in the very core of who we are, that our very being, that is where we worship God. We worship God in our hearts. So just to summarize then, considering all the various scriptures, we can say that worship is to worship God and to worship God alone. That it starts in the heart. And with the right heart attitude towards God, we worship him from the very core of our being. We worship him in spirit, where there's no need for any carved image, no observances, no ordinances or sacrifices to perform. But when we come together and we worship together, we express our worship from the deepest place in our heart, through prayer, through song, through the scriptures, and through communion. So when I said at the very start, what is your thoughts about worship, when I mentioned worship, kind of misled you a little bit to guide you to thinking about praise and worship. Worship leaders always say, you know, we come to a time of praise and worship. I myself say that, time of praise and worship. Now, if you were to think and only know that worship, see, worship is that part, you'd be missing out on the rest. That worship is our heart attitude towards our Savior, to the one that we call holy, holy, holy. So in closing, I will say this. When you come to pray, pray from your heart. When it comes to a time of song, praise him from your heart. So it doesn't matter what the type of worship is, whether if it's relaxed or it's more formal, whether it's contemporary songs or whether it's hymns, as long as we worship him from our heart. When it comes to the time of God's word, because that is an expression of worship, when it comes to God's word being preached, give attention with all your heart. But wherever you are and whatever you do, do all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as I close, I'll invite the worship team back to the stage. And I will ask you, having heard all that you've heard this morning from God's word, has your views changed on worship? If so, or even if you've heard things that you thought, well, I never thought about worship like that before, I implore you to go back and read Acts chapter 7 and see worship within the chapter in which Stephen takes us through in his sermon to do with Moses and how that relates to Jesus our God. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, you are God and you are God alone. And when we come into this place together, we are separated from the world. We are separated because we are saved. When we come together, when we congregate together, we congregate in your name. And in this place, this holy place, we come before you with reverence, with fear. And Lord, we bow our heads in prayer to you now, and we offer up our prayers as a sacrifice of praise to you. And we ask that whenever we worship, wherever we worship you, Lord, whether here or at home, in the privacy of our home, Lord, may that sacrifice, may that worship be acceptable to you. Help us always to remember, Lord, that we should always be true in our worship to you, because you are Lord. You are holy, holy, holy. And we praise your name now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Our final song says again that we're standing, but we're standing on the rock. We shall stand with our feet on the rock. And that spirit and truth element, whatever men may say, we lift your name up high. So don't listen to the lies that the world might tell you, but we will lift God's name up on high. So let's stand together and sing this to close our service. I'd like to read a little bit from Numbers, just as our blessing. It's a very popular one. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So as we go from this place and we're not leaving his presence, we can continue to worship in spirit and truth. God bless you all. Please do stay behind and have tea or coffee through in the hall.
Thank you.